I'm thankful he reached down for me, aren't you? What a blessing knowing the Lord, he came to us. And I think we were singing this song, I think about an illustration I'm going to use in a moment, that when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam sinned in the garden, God came to them. God came to him. And though he had sinned, and I'm so thankful that before we ever loved the Lord, he loved us first. And so Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, our second message on forgiveness. And this morning's going to be a very simple message on forgiveness. And I'm looking forward to getting into some more maybe practical everyday life forgiveness and how do we forgive and those type of things as we go forward in this. But last week, we touched on the pinnacle of forgiveness is that God forgave us. And therefore, we ought to be willing to forgive others. And so we preached a couple of weeks ago there in Colossians chapter 1, and where it says we ought to forbear one another and encourage one another. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And so as God hath forgiven us. And so that's found in Colossians 3:13. Says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And we went over how Christ had told his disciples to forgive 70 times 70, which means to forgive infinitely, that there's no stop in the forgiving of others. If a man does something wrong against you 7 times in one day, how many times should we forgive him? 7 times in one day. We forgive as God hath forgiven us. And I'm so thankful that God forgave me of all my sins. And therefore, I ought to be willing to forgive others. I ought to be willing to forgive my spouse, my kids, my coworker, my friends, my neighbor. I ought to be willing to forgive. And so this morning we're going to more talk about the relationship we have with the Lord, and probably next Sunday as well, if the Lord will let me. I know next Sunday is back to school Sunday, and there's going to be a lot of people. But Lord has laid that upon my heart. So this morning, talking about God's forgiveness and how big it is. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, I figure I'm preaching until about 1:20. Since I know y'all can do that. You know, I did not receive one complaint about how long our revival speaker spoke. And so since I didn't, I figure I'll just lay suit of that. And no, I'm not kidding. I tell you, the revival meeting was amazing. And I just can't, I know some of you had to work and other things going on. I just can't encourage you enough to go online and listen to the messages. Forgiveness, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I would encourage in the book of Ephesians that the theme is in Christ. And I have all of that phrase in Christ circled in my Bible every time it's mentioned. Verse 4, according to as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I'm thankful this morning I'm a child of God. A child of God. Verse 7 is our text verse this morning, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And this is really what we want to major on this morning. According to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. And Lord, maybe we see the forgiveness that you have shown us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever played a football game or a baseball game? Soccer. It's hard for me even to speak those words. Soccer. If you've played some sort of game, whatever it may be, and you get into the, in baseball, you get into the third inning, and it's already 14-0 or 12-0, in Texas we say 12-0, and somewhere else we'd say 12-0. But, and you think, man, I wish this game could start over. I wish this game could start over. I wish we could erase the score and start over and just have a new beginning. And I'm telling you this morning, Christ came and forgave us all of our sins. And when you get saved, your sins are forgiven, and it is like starting over. And what an unbelievable life it is to know your sins are forgiven. By the way, sins forgiven past, present, and future. and erased. My sins have been erased, thrown as far as the east is from the west, thrown into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. I want to remind you the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters deal with the tools we have been given to live out this life. And one of the greatest tools we have in our tool belt is knowing that we're forgiven. Knowing that we're forgiven. What peace it brings to our life, knowing that my sins have been forgiven. What comfort it brings to our heart, knowing that we have known that we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven. I know you say, well, what do you mean? I'm talking about forgiven of all of our sins. I know how I feel when I have wronged someone and I go to them and I say, man, I'm so sorry I did that. And you can tell either by their face or by their gesture, or they did not even say, well, I forgive you, you're fine. But they didn't do that, and you still feel that tension. You still feel that you don't have peace, right? I'm so thankful that at the age of 6 years old I got saved, and I have peace. I have peace with God. And what an amazing, amazing, amazing life we live having been forgiven. Forgiven of all of our sins. It goes for the lost people, those who have never been saved and those who have been saved. I'm glad I'm forgiven as a born-again child of God. I'm glad that God still forgives me as His child. 1 John 1:9, the apostle said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, fair, to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And John there was not talking to those who have never accepted Christ. John there was not talking to those who had experienced that complete forgiveness, but he was talking to Christians. He was talking to children of God. And I'm thankful that I can go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness on a daily basis. We want to dwell on the definition this morning. The primary definition, forgiveness, means to bear the burden. To bear the burden. For instance, if somebody owes me $1,000 and I forgive that debt, then I bear the burden of that debt. I'm saying I can take on that. I can take that on. I don't have to have that money back. I'm bearing the burden of that $1,000, which would be difficult. So don't come and ask me. Right? All of us would say that in this room. $1,000 is a lot of money. That would be a pretty good sized debt if you were to forgive that. Most of us. Jesus Christ forgave us all of our debt. He has borne all the burden of our sin debt in His own body, the Bible says. That He went to the cross of Calvary and there He died in my place. He took the wrath of God for me. He took my debt and paid my debt. He bore my burden to Calvary. I think there's an old hymn that says that. There He suffered and died alone. As we look at our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, again, it says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm glad I've been redeemed. I've been bought back by the Lord Jesus Christ. How? By His blood, His sacrifice on Calvary. For without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption of sin. There is no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ forgave me my sins. And according to how? How did He forgive me? According to the riches of His grace. So we see, first off, we see the measure of forgiveness. According to the riches of His grace. It does not say according to the character of the offender. How am I to be forgiven? By my character? By how I live? By what I do? No, it's not what it says. It says we're forgiven according to the riches of His grace. Of His grace. You say, well, I'm a good person. No, being a good person doesn't bring forgiveness. It says we are forgiven according to the riches of His grace. We think about Paul, who was Saul, and Brother Davison really brought this out so good this week. Saul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, went about persecuting Christians and literally killing Christians and assenting to the killing of Christians. And yet God forgave him. And think about this, so much so that He sought him. God... Right? Saul met God on the road to Damascus. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus. The Lord came to him. I'm so thankful that the Lord, he reached down His hand for me. That He seeks me. That he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should be saved. That all should have forgiveness. No matter what sin has been committed. See, forgiveness is not based upon the character of the offender. It's according to the riches of His grace. And that's why we need to get back to understand that there are no little sins and big sins in the Bible. Now, there is when it comes to punishment. Hello? I mean, if you murder someone or you steal something, there is a different punishment for those sins. But all sin is the same sin. It's called selfishness. When God looks down, He sees all sin as selfishness. That's why James 2:10 says, you can look it up, chapter 2, verse 10 says, if you break one law, you've broken them all. Why? Because there's only one law. Right? There's six, y'all hear me, this is a broken record with me, but I think growing up, it was never explained to me in this way. I almost think that as a kid, I thought, because I took a piece of candy from the candy store, I'm dying and going to hell. And though that is wrong and that is a sin, taking a piece of candy from the candy store is not sending me to hell. It's the motivation behind taking the candy. It's selfishness that's sending me to hell. It's selfishness is the reason why I'm under God's wrath. You see, all 613 laws in the Old Testament, 613. Can you imagine living under that burden of having to keep all 613 laws? Most of us are breaking some of them this morning. I love the dry fit shirts and dry fit. I saw where they now have dry fit suits. That material. I think I'm going now. I think I'm going to get me one of those. These wool suits are hot. Right? But most of us this morning, we probably have on material that is mixed in its fabric. In the Old Testament, if you were a Jew, you couldn't mix your fabric. It had to all be cotton, or it had to all be wool, or you couldn't mix the fabric. How would you like to keep that law? I'm just saying it was a burdensome law. And so all 613 laws in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ comes and He summarized them down to one. In Matthew 7:12, He said, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. It's the golden rule. As I've said before, in my 8th grade science class, it was on the back wall. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Boy, what the difference the world would be like if everyone kept the golden rule, which is a biblical precept, a biblical rule. It is the primary law. Some lawyers came to Jesus and asked the questions, again, trying to stump Him, and said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment in the Old Testament? I'm summarizing now. He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. For on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All those 613 laws, that these two laws, all of them hang on those two. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You say, well then why in Matthew 7:12 do you say, just do unto others as you do unto you? Because you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself without loving God. You cannot love your neighbor as you love yourself. You might be able to love him some or her some, right? But you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself all the time without loving God properly and having a proper relationship with Him. And when you love God properly, when you have when you're in right relationship with God and you're right fellowship with God, you'll love your neighbor properly. So those two laws are one and the same. I said, I'll say this. James 2:10 says, if you break one law, you've broken them all. Why is that true? Because there's only one law. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You say, well, I do that. Well, you can't love everyone in the world as you love yourself all the time. You might be able to do it some of the time, but you can't do it all the time. No one can love everyone in the world as they love themselves all the time. The Bible says, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written herein. In other words, if you break one law, you're done. If you break one law, you're under God's penalty for sin. You're under that debt. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, lived a sinless life, died, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay my sin debt. My sin debt. Forgiveness of sins. There's no big and little sins. Again, the forgiveness is not according are to the character of the offender. Because there is no big and little sins. You say, well, I've done some awful things. Well, you've been selfish. Paul was a murderer and God forgave him. Again, the measure of forgiveness is not according to how many sins you may or may not have committed, but it's according to the riches of His grace. Have you ever been forgiven? Have you ever been saved? And let's be reminded this morning that sin does offend God. Psalm 51 says in verse 4, against thee, and Paul, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You see, sin brings death and debt. But Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid my sin debt. See, we have a God who's rich in mercy, not willing that any should perish. I think there's so many verses we could turn to. We won't turn to many of them, but Ephesians 2 and verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy. I'm thankful God is rich in mercy. Mercy is things that God takes out of our life that we deserve. Very simple definition of grace. Grace is things that God puts into our life that we don't deserve. Mercy is things that God takes out. So mercy is things that God takes out. Grace is things that God puts in. Of course, the definition of grace is God's unmerited favor, even unto enablement. And that's a whole other message. But understanding that God is merciful. Because of our sin, we deserve death, hell, and the grave. But God in His mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us by His blood according to the riches of His grace. Not according to our merit, not according to our character, but according to the riches of His grace. God who is rich in mercy. Psalm 100 says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. I think about mercy. I think about Methuselah. Methuselah in the Old Testament was the oldest man who ever lived, according to the Bible, 969 years. The name Methuselah means when he dies, it will be sent. When he dies, it will be sent. And it's talking about the flood. We've preached on this before, but it's been a long time ago. But basically, when Methuselah was named, he was named for, when this guy dies, the flood's coming. Yeah. I think I would have been careful with Methuselah. How you feeling today, Methuselah? You okay? And sure enough, the Bible records it. When Methuselah died, within that period of time, the flood came. The flood came. But I want you to know that God was rich in mercy. The longest man who's ever lived, whose name meant when he dies, the flood's coming. And God made sure that was the longest life who's ever lived. Why? Because God's merciful. Amen. He don't want to see anyone die. He doesn't want to see anyone pay that penalty of sin. No, He wants to see them have forgiveness and everlasting life. Again, our forgiveness is not based upon the offender or the character of the offender. It's not based upon my character, but according to the riches of His grace. It's not according to the sins committed, but according to the riches of His grace. In other words, God commendeth His love, and God showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Romans 5:8. Listen to it again. But God showed, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say that while we were yet bad sinners, or fair sinners, or good sinners, or terrible sinners, or evil sinners. No, it just says, while we were yet sinners. We're all sinners. Amen. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. So it doesn't matter the how many sins have been committed. No. God is rich in mercy. According to the riches of His grace. Again, I want you to see our text verse. Text verse says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That forgiveness of sins comes according to the riches of His grace. Again, Paul was a murderer, and God forgave him. God will forgive anyone. Forgiveness is not according to the character of the offender. It's not according to how many sins are committed. It's not according to the lapse of time. I'm thankful children can be saved, aren't you? I enjoy vacation Bible school and seeing children come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God still saves middle-aged people. And God saves elderly saints, right? I can't call them saints until they get saved, but I didn't want to say old people. God can save anyone. God can save anyone. God's so good, so merciful and so kind. By the way, Jesus Christ turned and said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." It doesn't matter the lapse of time. It doesn't matter. Again, I remember this has been years back when we started Heritage. It was maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe 10 years ago. I had a call from a policeman who wanted me to come and see. Actually, it was his wife, and her husband was sick and not doing well in the hospital, and I went there. Never met him before and only had met her as an acquaintance. And went into that room, and they already had him on one of those, not a ventilator, but had him on the thing that goes over your face and puffs real hard into your mouth and nose. And so he couldn't speak. But I remember he was about 40-ish, and sitting there with him and talking with him and praying. He was very coherent. He knew his eyes were open. He knew what was going on. He just had to have the oxygen. And I remember going through the gospel with him. And I was thankful for that. And him ascending to it by shaking his head or nodding his head that he understood. And then I said, "Hey," and had him accept. And he accepted Christ as Savior. I believe it to this day. Amen. Right there. And he died the next day. I'm thankful you can get saved right there on your deathbed. I'm thankful it doesn't matter how old or how young, you can get saved. You can know Jesus. You can have forgiveness. It's one of the most memorable times in the ministry of seeing someone saved in that state. We're not saved according, or we're not forgiven according to the lapse of time. Not according to remorse. It's not necessary to talk to God and into something he's already done. In other words, God's already forgiven. God's already forgiven. You just must accept that forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. More than I want forgiveness, he wants to forgive me. And I used that illustration already. Adam and Eve. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. What did God do? Did he say, "Uh-oh, well, we're done"? Yeah. No, he sought them. Yeah. He went to the garden and was willing to forgive and did forgive. And we serve a gracious God. It's not according to the strength of one's faith. And I get this one a lot. Well, preacher, I just don't know that I have enough faith. Well, forgiveness doesn't come by way of how much faith you have. Now, it takes faith to get saved. But it doesn't take great faith. I'll explain in just a second. See, forgiveness comes according to the riches of his grace. Not according to the strength of one's faith. It doesn't say that he that believeth much on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It just says he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Amen. I'm telling you, it just takes the faith, just the spark. Illustrated this way, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Moses is leading them out of Egypt. They come across the Red Sea. What a great victory, right? I mean, Moses takes his rod and touches the water, and God parts the water a mile wide as 1 to 3 million Jews cross it, the Red Sea, overnight. And then when they turn around the next morning and see the armies of Egypt following after them, God closed that and killed the whole army of the Egyptians. A great victory had taken place, and they had literally walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. With a fire leading them. They had light. And yet, we see them over and over again murmur and complain, murmur and complain, murmur and complain. And at one point, they had turned against God, and God sent fiery serpents among them. Remember the story? We're not going to turn there. And God sent serpents among them and was biting them. When the snakes bit them, the Jews were dying. And so they began to cry out to God and ask for forgiveness. And God told Moses, "Make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole and lift it up. And those who look to the serpent, those who look to the brazen pole will be saved. If they're bitten by the snake and they look to the pole, then they'll be healed." I wonder if you had to have 20/20 vision in order to get healed. Or if you just had to look in that direction. I'm trying not to be sarcastic. I'm just saying, you didn't have to have 20. I don't have 20/20 vision. I barely see Brother Reed back there. Hello, Brother Reed. He's a little blurry, right? LASIK surgery is starting to wear off after 10 years. Don't ride with me at night. Go as long as I can. No, did you have to have 20/20 vision to look towards the serpent? If you didn't see the serpent clearly, the brazen serpent clearly, were you not healed? No. You just had to have faith enough to look that direction. And I'm telling you, you just have enough faith to look to Jesus. Trust in Him for forgiveness. No, we're not saved according to the strength of our faith. Now, it takes faith and trust in Him, but it's according to His grace. Amen. The riches of His grace. The riches, not just according to His grace, but the riches of His grace. That abundant grace. The riches of His grace. Forgiveness is not according to what I am or what I have done, but according to the riches of His grace. So we have the measure of forgiveness, and then we have the manner of forgiveness. I'm thankful it's free. According to the riches of what? His grace. Grace is unearned favor. Grace, it's not earned. It's a gift. Forgiveness is a gift from God. Forgiveness, like love, cannot be purchased. You can't purchase love. You cannot purchase forgiveness. Forgiveness from God is freely given to you, freely given to me. Not according to our character, not according to the sins we've committed, or according to the lapse of time, all these things, but no, it's according to the riches of His grace, His unearned favor. Stories told about a man filling out his driver's license, application. And in the application, it said, fill out your name and come on down there. And it says, have you ever received a ticket? And then below that, it said, explain. And the guy said, no, I've never received a ticket. And his explanation was, I've never been caught. Right? We've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. There are good moral people in this world. But they still fall short of who and what God is. See, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, that term, that phrase, glory of God, means who and what God is. See, your next door neighbor is not the standard by which we are measured when it comes to our character, the way in which we live, the way we measure up. In other words, the measurement for our righteousness is not our neighbor. The measure for our righteousness is God. Amen. And we've all come short of that righteous standard. It doesn't matter that you may come closer than me, or that I may come closer than you, to the standard of the Lord. No, it's that we've all fallen short of God's standard. Amen. That we are all sinners by nature. That we're all selfish by nature. But according to the riches of His grace, we have forgiveness. Amen. We have forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, according again to the riches of His grace. The manner in which we are forgiven is a gift that is given to us. Given to us. But God commends His love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For all of sin that comes short. Listen, salvation's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. By the way, it didn't say great faith there either. It didn't say for by grace are you saved through great faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, amen, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Forgiveness of our sins is not found through what we do. Amen. Forgiveness of sins, again, is not measured by our character. The forgiveness is, again, according to the riches of His grace. Have you heard me say that yet? According to the riches of His grace. Forgiveness is not based upon my merit. Forgiveness. And then lastly, who forgives? Who forgives? Our verse says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Who it is that forgives is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God who forgives us by way of His Son, Jesus. I hope this morning you've been forgiven. Again, I've said my testimony over and over again. I went to work with my dad one Saturday morning in the oil field, and he basically brought us along on Saturdays to fellowship with him, but I think primarily he brought us on Saturdays to work with him so we could open gates. Opened a lot of gates to those their old tank batteries, and just over and over again every morning running. learning how to open a gate that's, held together by barbed wire and some of them locked. But we had a good time. He would switch out kids on Saturdays. I remember one Saturday me telling my dad, we'd come through some kind of meeting, and I told my dad I didn't want to die and go to hell. Dad, I want to get saved. And he said, well, let's go see the preacher. And we drove to the church that Saturday morning, and the preacher happened to be in the office. And I remember Donnie Williams kneeling beside his couch there in his office and accepting Christ as my Savior, having forgiveness of sins at the age of 6 years old, impacting my life at age 6 years old. What a blessing. I'm thankful that his grace is not limited by age. I was forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Is there a point in your life when you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior? There's no greater decision you'll ever make. Christian, this morning may we be reminded that God forgave us. He redeemed us. He forgave us, past, present, and future. I don't earn His merit as a Christian. I didn't earn His merit as a lost person. I certainly don't merit His favor by what I do. I don't serve Him because I'm paying Him back the debt that I had. No, I serve Him because I love Him. I love Him. And I hope this morning you understand that. As we go forward in this life as a Christian, may we serve Him because we want to, not because we have to. Because His grace is not earned. See, forgiveness is not earned. It's according to the riches of His grace that He saves us. I'm thankful I can go to Him and ask for forgiveness, and He gives it to me freely. Stories told about George Wilson, who was sentenced to die for robbing the mail, but also he also murdered someone in doing so. President Andrew Jackson, there was an issue there. He issued a pardon for George Wilson, I think as he got older. The pardon was taken to him, but George Wilson refused it. The court had decided whether he was actually pardoned or could go free. In other words, it was taken to the Supreme Court, actually, and said, well, he was issued a pardon, but is he pardoned? In other words, if he doesn't take the pardon, is he still pardoned? And the Supreme Court came back, and it was actually Chief Justice John Marshall who gave the ruling and said if he did not take the pardon, he was not pardoned and must be executed. Let me tell you this morning, we've all been pardoned. I'm thankful He died for all. But you've got to take the pardon. You've got to accept Him personally. Doesn't matter whether you were born into a family of Christians like I was. I mean, man, my mom and dad, saved early. It doesn't matter if your heritage is Christian. It doesn't matter if you're born in America. It doesn't matter any of those things. But have you been forgiven? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You have to accept it yourself. It's not about whether your family accepted it, or whether you were a member of a church, or you gave some money in the offering, or you were... Have you accepted forgiveness? The measure of forgiveness is not according to the offender. It's not according to the lapse of time, or how many sins were committed, or if you were remorseful or not, or whatever the case is. No, it's according to the riches of His grace. His grace. What is the manner of forgiveness? Free. It's free. I'm thankful it's a free gift. Amen. Who forgives us? Well, that's Jesus who died for us. Amen. He forgives us. His Heavenly Father forgives us. What a blessing in knowing we can be forgiven. Amen. Have you been forgiven this morning? And maybe for us Christians to be reminded that we've been forgiven. I think 2 weeks ago when I preached on it, we take for granted, yes, I need to forgive, but we need to forgive because God forgave us. And remember the measure in which He did so by giving His Son on the cross of Calvary. Let's all stand. Hymn 153, I Surrender All. Maybe this morning the Lord's touched your heart concerning forgiveness. Maybe this morning you've said, Preacher, I listened to some of the messages over the revival meeting, and I need to come down and just spend some time with the Lord. Whatever your need is this morning, you come after we pray. Heavenly Father, we again come to Your throne, thanking You for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, if there's someone here in the audience who's never been forgiven and never had their sins forgiven, Lord, someone who's still under that debt, Lord, may you touch their heart and give them courage to walk the aisle this morning, to get out of their chair and walk the aisle. Lord, that they might come to the saving knowledge of you and have that forgiveness. Lord, that may we as Christians remember the grace that's been bestowed upon us by way of that forgiveness. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we